You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.
Amen. Let's find our seats very quickly. Praise God. Just want to welcome everybody out. If you're a visitor here, we want to give you a warm welcome. Feel special. We're the Potter's House Church. We meet here every Wednesday, 7 p.m. Doors open, hour early. Also Sunday, regular service on a Sunday, 3 p.m. Doors open an hour early for that. And so we really do appreciate you coming out today. Amen. So we are in our Wednesday service. We call it a deeper walk with God. And so look at someone and say, deeper. Now you've got to say it with a deeper tone. Say, deeper. Yeah, that someone's scary over here. That's too deep. Amen. And so if you're getting your Bibles, please, Genesis 3. We're going to start reading in verse 1. Genesis 3, start reading in verse 1. And so we're in a series called Jesus in Genesis. And so we've been looking. We've only done one last week, and we looked at the, what was the word that we said? Does anybody remember? Oh, wow, he's really good. The word for being without form and void? Tohu vabohu. Amen. Okay, praise God. I'm glad to know that my messages really have an indelible imprint upon you, and they're really having an effect. God is good, and we spoke about how even though things can be chaotic, God can still hover over those things. How many thank God for that? That thank God that no matter how things look. And so the story of the Bible is an entwined story. It's not for us to just look at passages and just take passages out of context without understanding. We've got to look at the whole entirety of the Bible. It's one story about how God loves mankind. And we see how he has made us a good planet. He's made us a good inhabitable space. And so where we ended last week, where we looked at within Genesis 1, where we just preached the whole thing where God says, let there be light. And that was like the first day he goes into. And then after that, as you read, I'm not going to go into each day, preach a sermon on each day. But just as I was studying it, you see that God divides the light from the darkness. And that's what he's always going to do. He's going to make a difference between that which is right, that which is wrong. He's going to call things as they are. How many know there are some things that are wrong? Becoming a Christian, you've got to call things that are right, right, and call things that are wrong, wrong. And then the Bible says after that, he divides the waters from the waters. And then after that, he gathers the waters all together, and then he reveals the dry land. And that is where the fruitfulness comes from. And so God creates this environment, and for one purpose is to create mankind, to create me and you. And so the Bible says that he creates man, he makes man. But as we look today, we see that there is a lot of things wrong with mankind. How many know that? There's a lot of things that are not as it should be. One of the things you notice when you're reading in Genesis, the first three chapters or two chapters, you see, when God is making things, he kept saying a word. He kept saying, and it was good. And God saw that it was good. And he keeps referencing this, saying, you know what, this is good. But how many know when we look at the world today, there is a lot of things that are not good. Something has happened. How many of you felt the struggle of serving Jesus and living for God? And it's not just going around, you know, feeling everything is just good. There's an issue here. And so I want to really pull out a type. And when we say type, this is like a foreshadowing. It's almost like a metaphor for Christ from these scriptures. And so we're going to look at the fall of man, and we're going to look at God's covering for us. And so Genesis 3 verse 1, the Bible says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast in the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your grace and your mercy. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help us to understand your word. Father, I pray that your word would go deep in us. Let it be more than just words or an event. Father, that we've come as spectators, but Father, we come to participate in your word. Do an amazing work in us right now. Your word, let us never belittle your word or come to your word like it's something common. Father, your word is living and alive. It can change lives. It can change situations. It can rejuvenate. It, Father, can just bring life where there is death. We believe this. And all God's people said, amen. And the real Christian said, amen. And so in the Bible, it speaks about the fall of man. And what it speaks about is that God made us. We were all good, but we sinned. Adam and Eve sinned. And so this is the passage of Scripture that really is the beginning of where evil comes from. This is the passage of Scripture where wickedness comes from. When you see somebody do something and you're like, why would they do that? You hear about people that murder people. You hear about people that are shooting people and doing all types of wicked things in the world right now. You think, where does that come from? It comes from right here. We have an understanding of where these things come from. And so the picture is that here is Adam and Eve. They're in the garden. They got relationship with God. Everything was good. There's no sin in the world yet. The Bible says that the serpent comes along and he tempts Eve. And she eats of the fruit that she wasn't supposed to eat of. God told her, don't eat of that fruit. She eats of the fruit. Sin enters in. And from there, we see everything that we see now. I want to break this down so that we get an understanding. And the first thing I want to look at is you need to know your enemy. Look at someone and say, know your enemy. You know, even in, I believe, even in a sports sense, that when a team, a football team or another team is going to play a team, they study that other team. They'll look at the other team and look at what they do. If you're going to go into battle, you need to know your enemy. Many people like this that little Chinese book, The Art of War. And he speaks about in that book about knowing your enemy. And so I want to say to you and I, we need to know our enemy. And we see something about our enemy in this very short passage of Scripture. And it says that the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field. And this is how the enemy attacks you, is that the enemy doesn't come at you directly. The enemy never just comes directly. He doesn't come and say, you know what, I'm Satan. I want to take your soul to hell. Let's get it on. He doesn't come at you like that. That's not how the devil comes. The Bible says that he was more crafty. That means he's more shifty. That means he designs and architects ways of getting in. Ways of coming at you. This is not a direct assault. This is not just brute force. This is not a hammer banging down on concrete. This is chess. This is strategic movements. This is not just one move and I win the game. This is a few moves. Have you ever played chess or drafts? Or sometimes me and my wife, we like to play when we're on the plane, Connect Four. And so my wife feels that she's a bit of a don in this. And so she's getting happy. She's playing it. She's like, I can see. But I'm setting her up. I'm like, yeah, you're focused here, but I'm going to get you. You ever play that? And you're trying to focus them somewhere else. She's like, yeah, one more move. And I've just, yeah, no problem. I've won. She didn't see it coming. This is how the devil moves. Is that you're so focused on one area that he gets you in another. If Eve would have known how crafty the enemy was, she would have been like, what is he up to here? Where is this going? Where is this conversation going, devil? See, listen, what we have, where we can actually say to Eve is a bit more innocent than us, that she didn't know that the serpent was like this. We already know the devil is like this. So when the devil starts a conversation with you, you better understand this is going somewhere. This is going somewhere. So many times people have these conversations with the devil. And what do I mean by that? Is that you start down a road of compromise and sin. You start entering into things that you just know. Hold up. You need to stop right there. And what the enemy does is that he asks her a question. The Bible says that the serpent that was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made, he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall eat of every tree of the garden. He simply asks a question. And that seems so innocent, but the end of the result of that question, where he takes it to, is sin. And now we see murder. Now we see rape. Now we see pedophiles. Now we see all of the sin in the world starts from a simple thing of the enemy planting this question. See, this is how he, many times what he's going to do is he plants questions in your mind about God. He's planting questions in your mind about God. The devil will sometimes plant questions in your mind because he wants you to question the genuineness of God. He's going to plant questions in your mind. Sometimes he can architect a question in such a way that he knows you can't have the answer for that. Can I tell you, we don't have all the answers. People sometimes, you know, the people, they want to debate with you. I like a good debate now and again. But people like to debate with you. And then because you don't know the answer, they're like, well, see, God can't exist. Hold up. That's like saying, because I don't know everything about Queen Elizabeth, and I can't answer every question about her, like what cornflakes, what cereal does she like, or does she like wheat bits? I can't do all of that, then she doesn't exist. Just because I don't know all the answers, that doesn't mean that she doesn't exist. The same is with God. There are things about God I don't know because God is infinite and I'm finite. But he plants questions about God and who he is. These are questions that sound so innocent in the beginning. But these questions are not questions. What is the difference between a good question and a bad question about God? Well, good questions, these are people that really want to know the truth. They want to know about God. They want to seek God. They're not trying to catch God out. You can't catch God out. You catch yourself out. He talks about, you know, listen to what he says. We read on Genesis 3 verse 4. Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat, your eyes will be opened." That sounds good. Some opening of the eyes. "And you will be like God." Woo, yeah, I like the sound of that. "Knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, she never saw that he was good for food until he started speaking. What, something that was there, something that she wasn't. We do not see them, that Adam and Eve were constantly around the tree. "Oh, look at that tree, we want it. Oh, don't, Adam. Please, no, Eve, stay away from it." We don't see none of that. They weren't doing that until the question was asked. Until this conversation with the enemy. Until the enemy starts to put in an alternative to God. And now the Bible says she looks at the fruit and she sees it in a total different light. She now looks at the fruit. She said, "This actually looks good. That it would be pleasant to the eye. And the tree desirable to make one wise." She looked. So she took of the fruit and ate. And she gave it to her husband with her. And he ate. See what the enemy promises here. Let me just quickly say one thing. He says he's questioning God's motives. He's craftily accusing God. That's what he's doing. He's accusing God. Because what he says here is he says, "So can you eat of this tree in the garden?" And Eve says, no, we can eat of all the other trees, but we can't eat of this tree. We'll imagine that this TV is the tree. And so we can't eat of this. And so he says, because the day we eat of that, if we touch it, we're going to die. And this is what the serpent says. The serpent says, "You won't die. God knows you won't die." And what he's saying here is accusing God. He's saying God is actually holding something back from you. It's not even like he's saying God thinks you'll die, but you won't die. He says God knows you won't die. God knows that that's going to make you wise. You're going to be like him. And what he's accusing God is, God is trying to hold things back from you, man. God is trying to hold you back. There's a law. People talk about the law of first mention in the Bible. And when you see something first, this is the first time we see the enemy. And you really do learn his strategy here, because he's always going to accuse God to you. When you go through a trial, you could be going through a trial right now, a financial trial. You could be going through a trial at work, trial in your marriage. You could be going through a trial. Where's God? Where's God? If God was good, you wouldn't be going through this. What kind of God would allow you to go through this? He's going to start to whisper these things in your head. He's going to start whispering these things. Oh, God's holding stuff back from you, man. These are people, this is the thing when you grow up in church and then you've always been in church and the other side of it, I've seen this, people have been in church from a young age and you start to get to a certain age now and the devil's like, hey, you're missing out. Look at them, you're missing out. Look at them people, they're having a good time, party. You're missing out. God's holding good stuff back from you. He don't show you all of the, he shows you, oh, look, Instagram, look, lovers and kissing and fornicators and having a good time. He don't show you them sitting in the clinic scratching and itching. He shows you all of this. He don't show you people in the bed. He shows you all of this. He don't show you. And listen, we could go on and on. He's saying, if you do it God's way, you're going to lose out. And what he's saying is, listen, your eyes will be opened. You know, this is how a lot of people get trapped in because to false religion by the enemy, because it's all about knowledge. You ever debate with people like, yeah, but you don't understand. You don't understand the Bible. The Bible, before the Bible, there was a guy in Egypt. See, I know. I'm in the know. You don't know. See, you've been oppressed. You don't know, man, about William Shakespeare wrote the Bible. Because look, let's go to this page, William. Go to the next page, Shake. No, the next page, Spear. What are you talking about? I'm mad. You don't know Muhammad's in the Bible. No, he's not in the Bible. Search this book. There is no Muhammad in here. He's not in here. Jesus is in here. Oh, you don't know. If you follow this, you'll be in the know. See, I found out this secret thing that you guys don't know. The system is lying to you. It's not. It's always knowledge. Now, can I tell you that knowledge, the Bible says knowledge puffs up. You know what knowledge applies to? Your pride. And I guarantee every time you meet someone like this, full of pride. Very full of pride. Now, I'm in the know. This is what I know. I know I'm a sinner. I know I needed help. I know I was a drunkard. I know that I was a sinner, lost in my sin. I couldn't fix myself. I needed Jesus. This is why I said on Sunday, Christianity, the mark of a Christian has to have humility. There has to be some humility because we're not promoting one person or a creed or a color or a culture. We promote one thing, and that is Jesus and his agenda and his holiness. See, what the devil says, you're going to be smarter, you're going to be cleverer. This thing is going to make you better. Your eyes are going to be opened. What he's saying is, yeah, right now I know you're with God. You and Elohim fellowshipping together in the garden. But yeah, listen, your eyes are shut. Your eyes are not opened yet. You don't really know. I've met people that talk like that. I've met people that kind of, you know, they're living a sinful life. And they kind of talk to me and, you're missing out. We forget, for 22 years I sinned. Wasn't the most, but I sinned. And I realized if this is eyes closed, then I want my eyes closed. You're brainwashed. If this is brainwashed, then I want this. Because I had what you had. Or I had what they have. See, this is where I want to get to the meat of it, is that what the devil does is that he speaks to Eve and he deceives her. He deceives her. How do we know that she's deceived? Well, the Bible identifies it. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3. Look what it says here. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. What this means is that to be deceived. This Eve was deceived. She didn't think she was doing the wrong thing. She literally thought she was doing the right thing. She literally thought, good is going to come of this. This looks good. This is going to be good for me. Adam, this is going to be good for us. This is going to help us. This probably help us with God. We're going to know things. We're going to be like God.
And so we can just chill with God, even on a maybe on a higher plane. This is good for us. She was deceived. 1 Timothy 2, verse 14. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Again, she was deceived. She even says it. It's even in Genesis 3, verse 13. And the Lord said to the woman, "What is it that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate it." See, at this point, you're going to have to make a distinction and understand is that you can be deceived. I can be deceived. That means you will do something that you think is right, but it's so wrong. Because the way that the devil has argued it, he's crafty. He has all of the things of the world on his side. And this is why there are people living their life being destroyed by things in this world, because the enemy deceives people. This is why smart people do stupid things. This is why smart people, you think that everybody that does crazy things are just illiterate and uneducated? Listen, there are people that are highly educated. There are people that have IQs off the charts. There are people that they can use. They're some of the most brainiest people. Some of you here are very brainy, very intelligent. But that has nothing to do with being deceived. Being deceived, what does it mean? What am I saying? It's when you believe something that is just not true. You start to believe things that are not true. There has to be truth. There has to be reality. Where you just start to believe, where the devil starts to deceive you and tell you things. He starts to tell you that, you know what? No, this is not going to work. No, you need to go and do this. No, you need to go and do that. He deceives you. He wants to pull you deeper and deeper into sin. This is why you see people, their lives go deeper and deeper and deeper into sin. They start with this and then they go to that, and now they're entrenched. Their life is a mess. Nobody on this planet would want that for a life, not even them. Why are they in there? Because they've been deceived. But we're not just talking about the world. Christians. Church people. You know, the sad thing is when you see someone come to church and they do really well and they've really been saved, there's something about their life that changes dramatically. There's an energy, there's a vitality, there's an electricness to their salvation. And then, maybe after months, maybe after years, you start to see them withdrawing. You start to look in their eye and it's different. They're different. And now it's like there's a little bit of an attitude. There's a little bit of withdrawing. There's a little bit of this. And you can kind of see in their mind as they look. They're here, but they're not quite here. They're here and they're like, "You guys, you don't really know. You don't really know anymore." That's how you feel. The devil, because he's deceiving you. He's speaking things. He still operates. He has the whole of the music industry, the whole of the movies industry, the whole of the advertising industry. He owns it all. He has politics and all of these things. He has billions and trillions of pounds and dollars behind his deception, and he'll deceive you. I always think to myself, if I was to leave church, if I was to go back to sin, if you was to see me on a Friday night at the corner of Falcon Road at that pub, and I've got a pint in my hand and I'm there and I'm smoking, would you not come up to me and say, "But you preach to us. What did you believe when you was doing that? You preach to us." Like, how can you preach one thing and do a full thing and not think, "Hold up, something has gone wrong here"? You preach to us. You preach to us. You told people about Jesus. And I think to myself, you know why? I'd always scratch my head. Well, how could that happen? I know why. Because we can be deceived. I can be deceived. You can be deceived. The most dangerous people on this planet are the people that say, "I cannot be deceived." Oh my gosh. You are deluded above measure. We're not talking about your eyes. We're not talking about that you can't see, that you can't see what's going on. We're not talking about that you don't see what's going on in the relationship and the way that guy's treating you. We don't see that you can't see, bro, the way you're living your life. We're not saying you can't see, you can see it. Being deceived has nothing to do with the eyes. It's to do with the heart. Is that the enemy whispers things and now your heart is turning from God. Your heart is turning from God. Your heart no longer trusts God. Your heart now suspects God and suspects his church and suspects the people of God and the word of God. You don't want to hear the word of God. You avoid those that want to challenge or even send you the word of God. And say, hey, what's going on? Let's talk. This is what happens. And this is the origin of sin, that we get into these things and we are deceived. And the Bible says that she takes of it, Adam takes of it, they've sinned. And in Genesis 7, look what it says. It says, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made for themselves a covering. You know, let me tell you how the devil is a master when it comes to lying. Because he twists things in such a way. He said, eat of this and you'll be like who? They were already like God, because they were made in God's image. The very thing that he was offering them, they already had. They just said they didn't understand it. The very thing, many times people will leave. The very thing you want, many times is the very thing you've already got. But you just don't understand it. The devil, he is a robber. He will rob you, man. Oh, you'll be like God. We are the only thing on this planet that are like God. People are worshiping other people and having idols and images. Listen, we are the only thing that God has allowed to be made in his image. The Bible says, do not have any graven images. Doesn't it say that? We are the only thing that he has made in his image. But the devil robs them of this. And he says, their eyes are opened. And now they see each other naked. They're ashamed. The thing that they thought was going to liberate them, now they feel ashamed. Something is being stripped from them. They feel uncovered. They were walking around, having a good time, man. Adam, his wife, the animals are there. There's food. It's just, yeah, life was good. God would come down and they would be rapping with God. Now they're like, when something has been stripped. I don't know whether it was the presence of God clothed them. God's presence was so thick it felt like clothing on them. I don't know what it was, but now they see things in a different light. They feel exposed. They feel ashamed. Can I tell you, this is what sin always does. There are some people here, you feel ashamed of things you've done. I think we all feel ashamed of some of the sins that we've done. And so what we try to do, we try to cover it. This is really how mankind lives. He's trying to cover his sin. There are many ways man tries to cover his sin. He tries to cover it by sinning in secret. Secret sin. So nobody knows. Listen, though nobody knows, you know, God knows. And that's enough. Because at night, your conscience reminds you. Even though no one else saw you, you know. You still feel ashamed. You still feel unclean. Nobody knows, but God knows, and you know. But secrecy does not cover the shame of sin. You can call it another name. The world tries to call it. Call sin another name. That's what they're always redefining things. An affair. No, it's adultery. Homosexuality. Is it, you know, being gay? No, it's... Bible says it's a sodomite. Sodomy. These are things you talk about. Well, I just told a fib. No, it's a lie. Oh, they're just shacking up. No, so that's fornication. We try to change the name of things to cover the sin. We try to cover it with money and lust and drugs. There are people that the reason why they go into this lifestyle is because they're trying to cover their sin. They're trying to get away from how they feel about the things that they've done. Live with yourself. Just before I got saved, I from the outside, you'd think, yeah, he's very confident. I didn't like myself. It's ashamed. This is why I was always high, always drunk every night. I was trying to cover myself. I was trying to stitch together my little fig leaves to cover my sinfulness, to cover my emptiness, my nakedness before God. They get fig trees, fig leaves, and they start to put these together. They've reached into the nature, the natural things. This is DIY religion. This is why there is always a religion everywhere you go on the planet, because man is always trying to cover his sinfulness, always trying to attain to the things of God. And so man makes his own religion, just like these leaves. They made them. They put them together. How many know making clothes of fig leaves is stupid? How many know that's not durable? That's not going to help you. That's going to come off any minute. Can I say religion is the same? Religion will keep you going for a little while. Your outside reputation will keep you going for a little while. Eventually, the real you is going to brock out. How many know that? You got them leaves? One day you're going to be mucking about, running for a bus. Ah! The leaves are gone. And that's how religion is. People are, oh yeah, it's all about Jesus and the Lord. Comes the time, listen, that's religion. You may please the pastor, and you may please the fellowship, and you may please your brethren. But God doesn't want you to have religion. I come to church every service, I give, and I did it. Yes, wonderful, do all of those things, but do not do that as a covering. That, look, I'm laboring so hard for God. And that's not a covering. The Bible shows us no. You know what happened? God saw them. God comes down. And I love this. His presence is there. He comes down and says, Adam, where are you? What condition are you in? And he sees them covered up with these pitiful leaves. They're trying to cover themselves. The Bible says, Genesis 3:21. Also, for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Think about this now. They sinned. They went against God. But God still clothed them. Well, think about it. If that was us, we would have been, nah, go off your bad self. Yeah. I told you don't eat that thing, man. It's okay. Walk around with your leaves. See how you like that? Yeah, it's summertime now, so you're laughing. But wintertime come, those leaves, you're going to be feeling it. But God is like, the Bible says, no. You know what God does? God covers them. But he doesn't cover them with leaves. He covers them, the Bible says, with skins. This is an animal skin. I want to say this just in closing, is that Jesus is our covering. They tried to cover themselves with leaves, but God covered them with skins. For God to cover them, something had to die. For God to cover them, for God to cover their sin, something had to die. An animal. I don't know if it was 2, 3, I don't know how many animals had to die. But we know to get these skins, an animal had to die. For God to cover their sin, blood had to be shed. And it is no different than today. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:22, it says, accordingly to the law, almost all things were purified with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. That means there's no forgiveness. There is no washing away. See, this is really the core of the Bible, church, is that the enemy deceives us. And we go down a road and we do things. And we know afterwards those things we've been deceived. If we're honest, we know that we was all deceived as sinners. And if we're really honest, this takes real honesty, we've been deceived as saints. We've all gone down roads. We've all done things where we look back now, just like Eve. God said, hey, what did you do? I was deceived. Then what is the difference? What's the differential? What is the difference? The difference is this. Are you going to cover yourself with leaves, or are you going to allow him to cover you with skins?
Don't know who that is calling you, but someone trying to deceive you, man. I'm only joking. I'm sure it's someone. They'll be like, no, it's my mom. Okay, sorry. She's a good woman. Amen. We love her. Bring her to church. Hey, hallelujah. What is it going to be? Is it your? Are you relying upon your what you've done with your hand? Are you relying upon your good works? Are you relying upon your Bible knowledge? How many times you come to church? Are you relying upon these things? Is that what gives you confidence? Do you think, yeah, I know this and I know that? Or do you just come down and say, listen, I needed blood shed. Jesus is our covering. When Jesus died on the cross, his blood covers your sin. I don't care if you've murdered somebody here. His blood covers all sin. Obviously, if you have, maybe you should report yourself. But I'm just saying, yeah, the reality is it don't matter what we've done. Even if you stole a pencil today, you need his blood to cover your sin. This is why none of us stand higher than the other. This is why we're all humble under Christ. Jesus provides a better covering, a more robust covering. Skins, you know, this would have lasted. This is basic. This would have lasted. This is leather. You know when people go on motorbikes, they wear leathers because it's protection. That's what they do. It's for protection. Because you go on a motorbike with a leaf, you come off, you're finished. And why do I say that? Because listen, once you start picking up speed for Jesus, he's getting in ministry now. Yeah, now you're rolling. You're picking up speed. You better make sure that you're covered by. Because if you slip and you've just been covered by leaves. Jesus is a better layer of protection. When God looks at you, he sees Jesus. Jesus died on the cross. Just like these animals had to die to cover Adam and Eve, Jesus had to die to cover you and I. He's covered you. You're covered. When Jesus looks at you, when God looks at you, should we say, God the Father looks at you, does he see Jesus or does he see fig leaves? You know, as a kid, I love superheroes. Superman, Spider-Man, Batman. Superman, you know, he cannot see through lead. It's like he has kryptonite as his weakness, but he cannot see through lead. He can look, he can see everything, x-ray, but when there's lead, he cannot see through it. Jesus is our covering, and I want to say that blood is what covers. So when God looks at you, if all you've got is leaves, he's going to see your sin. But if you're covered by the blood, it's like lead. God doesn't look past the blood. He doesn't look any deeper than blood. He'd be like, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. And God, you don't know what I've done. I don't even know if I can live on with this. God's like, what are you talking about? All I see is blood. He never looks any further than that. He's a better covering. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by this sermon to reach the lost, make disciples. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.